Our gospel reading for this morning is one that tends to catch a lot of people off guard. When you think of Jesus, you don't usually think of him as someone who gets angry. We like to think of him as a tender, compassionate, easygoing person who wouldn't hurt a fly. And so our reading for today at first glance seems out of character. What are we to make of what happened that day in the temple? Why did Jesus do what he did? What was the purpose of it? It was nearly Passover. That means that anyone who could would be coming to celebrate in Jerusalem. And Jesus, along with his disciples, were among the pilgrims who made the journey. Now, the temple was the beating heart of the worship of God. And when Jesus arrived at the temple, he discovered a distortion of that worship. There were those selling sheep and oxen and pigeons. There were the money changers, and Jesus is offended by them. He makes a whip, overturns their tables, and chases them out. He said, "You have turned my father's house into a house of trade." So what were they doing there? And why did this anger Jesus? These people were there to provide a service for the worshipers, a necessary service. The money changers changed Roman coins into temple coins. Roman coins, of course, had an image of Caesar on them. This was a graven image, idolatry, prohibited by the first commandment. To bring a coin into the temple would be beyond improper. So the temple had its own coins, and you exchange regular money for temple money. So the money changers existed to provide a good and needed service. The same was true of those selling animals. Oxen, sheep, and pigeons were required. If you traveled from a long distance, odds are you didn't bring an animal to sacrifice. You saved your money, and you'd buy the right animal for the sacrifice once you arrived in Jerusalem. If these were necessary services, then why was Jesus angry? And why did he throw them out? What started out as good was no longer good. What started out as a service became racketeering. What started out as an aid to the worship of God became exploitation and oppression. Jesus is angry because the Passover is supposed to be a time for the Jews to remember how God has delivered them out of bondage in Egypt, made his covenant with them, and led them into the promised land. The focus was to be on God and his mighty acts to deliver his people. It wasn't supposed to be on making money, especially at such great cost to others. It was to be on God's presence with his people to save them, and their ultimate deliverance that God would provide through the promised Messiah, whom John has identified as Jesus, the once and for all Passover lamb. And it's not just the children of Abraham that the Lamb of God has come for. The place where the exchangers and hawkers have set up shop are in the temple court, a place designed specifically for Gentiles to come and pray, where they could be in the presence of God himself. "My house will be a house of prayer for all people," God declared of his holy temple. And Jesus sees this going on. He sees that these Gentiles who have come to worship can't do so. And Jesus isn't going to allow anyone to get in the way of people coming into God's presence. So he makes a whip of cords, and he drives out those who are selling the animals, takes the coins of the money changers, pours them out all over the place, and turns over the tables. You can just imagine the scene. Startled animals going everywhere, people running this way and that, the sound of clinking coins rolling all over the temple floor. People wondering, what's going on? Who does this guy think he is? What were we doing wrong? And what does Jesus say as he's doing all of this? He says, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. The disciples, probably startled as they see this, happen to recall the words of the 69th Psalm. Zeal for your house will consume me. They see that Jesus is zealous towards people coming into his Father's presence. And he will not stand for those who try to do anything, knowingly or not, to stand in their way. There were some in the gospel reading who didn't particularly like what Jesus was saying. They wanted to know, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Essentially, they're asking, Jesus, what gives you the right to do this? And Jesus answers right back, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. They didn't get it. They were so fixated on the building that they didn't understand what it was that made that building the temple in the first place. The temple was where God was present with his people. Whether that was a tent in the wilderness after the Exodus or a stone edifice dominating the skyline. Jesus isn't turning over the tables of the money changers alone. He's turning the tables on their concept of the temple. It wasn't the brick and mortar that made it the temple. It was God's presence. And there, Jesus, God incarnate, second person of the Trinity, was right there talking with them. The very temple he's talking about is right before them, himself, his body. That is how he is present with his people. They thought they knew what the temple was, which is why they so adamantly objected to Jesus' statement by saying, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days? They didn't get it. They lost focus on God's presence with his people, his delivering, rescuing, Passover presence. I wonder if the church in our day understands this. What is it that makes this building a church? What is it that makes this particular space special? Is it our stone towers and spires, our vaulted ceilings, our organ, our storied windows? No. It's Christ's presence with us in word and sacrament. This is a place to behold the Lamb of God, a place to meet and worship the Lamb of God. Let us not forget that worship isn't about our giving something to God, but about God coming to us to deliver forgiveness, life, and salvation. St. Paul wrote about this in our epistle reading when he writes, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. When the world looks at the cross, it doesn't look powerful or glorious at all. They see a man dying a shameful death reserved for a common criminal. Not God in human flesh, dying to redeem the world from sin and death. It doesn't look glorious. It doesn't look powerful. And so today, we have a tendency to want to avoid the cross, to want the church, a place where Christ is to dwell with his people through word and sacrament, to be a therapy session, telling us how to live our best life right here, right now, or telling us how to look inside of ourselves and find what we're missing in life. Through our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is once again bringing out the whip. He's overturning the money tables of our pride, showing us how we have selfishly put ourselves before others. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, "There are more idols in the world than there are realities." Jesus shows us the unvarnished truth about our heart's desires, how the false gods of greed, pride, and worldly things have crept into our hearts. But the good news is that God dwelt among us. Jesus, the temple that was to be destroyed and raised again in 3 days, lived as one of us, kept each of those commandments we heard in our Old Testament lesson, and suffered the darkness of Calvary to bring us to God, to confront the desires of our hearts. C.S. Lewis, at the end of his great chapter on hope in Mere Christianity, says that we can reorient the entire focus of our life toward God. He concludes, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." The Lenten invitation is this: to allow Jesus to get about the business of cleaning the temple. Because you see, fortunes are lost, markets sour, companies go belly up, marriages crumble, nations posture. We kiss our children goodbye in the morning and hope that we will see them again at the end of the day. We get sick. Our bodies slow down. We come to church and confess our sins. So while this gospel text may be a difficult one to understand, we see that when Jesus clears the temple, he does it for us. Amen.